Time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
Welcome to it, Roundtable for Friday, the 22nd of May. Joining us, she is the Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail. You hear her every day during the provincial press conferences. Laura Stone. Hello, Laura.
Hey, guys.
It's funny, whenever I hear somebody I know from the Roundtable, I say the same thing every day in my living room. I know her. I mean, it's just for my amusement.
It's very
exciting.
He's
a partner at Upstream. It is for me. He's a partner at Upstream Strategy, friend of the program. Chris Chapin joins us. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys.
Let's start off with we were just talking to the mayor about when it comes to jobs and layoffs and staff cuts here in the city of Toronto. This was the mayor from earlier today making a rather dire prediction.
I think the bottom line is, however you cut it, hundreds of people, hundreds of citizens, thousands of citizens affected with childcare cuts, with transit cuts. You can cut it any way you want. You can use any number as the base number. The bottom line is this would be a disaster in terms of a working, humane, livable city, which we've created here, and there's no reason for it. Plenty of other groups have got help from the other governments, and I'm very happy about that, and I supported that strongly and still do. But I think that cities, given everything they do to deliver on a lot of the services that people rely on, including the most vulnerable people, are in need of that help now.
Laura, the number is pegged at 19,000 people who could be out of a job, staff cuts, and the like. The mayor is saying they're not all people that are in buildings, and quite obviously a lot of these people deliver services to us. The question is twofold. One, when we look at this, the idea that, you know, we have to go to the federal government, provincial government is somewhat, to say the least, irritating. The second part is, does this leave the city with not much choice when it comes to that issue of road tolls in hopes that the province says, okay, these are different times, these are different circumstances, we'll let you have that revenue stream this time around, given we're a different government and we've been going through a pandemic together as a whole?
Well, I think this is the debate that's going on right now, right? That the federal government has opened the taps, if you will, to fund a lot of different groups. And a lot of people will argue, rightly so. I mean, this is a defining moment of our time, and it is devastating for a lot of people in the country. But this is kind of the crux of the debate over reopening the economy, that, you know, we want to move slowly, we want to be responsible, and we don't want a second wave. And yet there are so many people out of work, so many businesses struggling. And so I think you're starting to see this push of more people wanting to get back into the workforce and how we do that safely. I mean, how it relates to cities, I don't know that there's even a lot of foresight in terms of how the city would make up for this later, how the province would make up for it later, or tolls, or if it's just we need to just pay a large amount of money right now to ensure that the city's workforce has a place to live this year. So it's a really difficult question, and I don't know that anyone is thinking that far ahead in terms of just saving people's livelihoods.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, I don't envy the mayor's position here. We're not talking about a situation where we even have a powerful mayoral system where the mayor is basically one vote of a group of city councilors. They mm-hmm. really a lot of the time have no choice but to go hat in hand to other levels of government to say, hey, you got to bail us out here. And I think he does make a rather salient point when it comes to, political parties being able to apply for bailout money, but the city of Toronto can't apply for any kind
Good
of bailout
point.
Money. They're kind of on their own.
Yeah, I think I come at this from a bit of a different perspective, and that's the conservative in me. Part of that's a small business owner in me. You know, I think there's this false sense of security for those who are employed in the public sector. You just look at how the government responded federally to, encourage private sector companies to keep their employees on, and they were only going to subsidize 75% of the wages, and yet, we're sitting here having this discussion two and a bit months into this pandemic. And so few public sector workers have been laid off when the services they were providing pre-pandemic are, either no longer needed or greatly reduced. You think of Service Ontario locations who just aren't active or weren't active for the first month and a half of this pandemic. So I think it goes to a broader discussion about, you know, the security that comes with a public sector job. I think there's a lot of a discussion that needs to be had in the future about whether or not when things like this happen, it's appropriate that they're just protected no matter what. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're an employee for a private sector company, if revenue started dropping, we saw what just about every company in the country did. They laid off, they furloughed workers to try to save their bottom line. And for some reason, we don't expect that our politicians have those same discussions at a municipal budget level, provincial budget level, or even a federal budget level. So I think there's a far greater discussion that needs to be had when it comes to public sector security and job security, because the fact of the matter is, you know, the same people that are paying their taxes, who are no longer paying their taxes because they're laid off, are now paying these people salaries who are, you know, not all doing nothing, but, you know, many of them are doing jobs in a greatly diminished capacity.
And those city jobs are definitely a trigger for so many people on our text board. I mean, just one of the many texts that we get every single day that we talk about this. The difference between public sector and private sector is that we all suffer and that they don't have to, obviously, they being the people within the public sector. But I'm curious, and you know, we have so many groups and so many individuals that are receiving benefits. There are a lot of people that are being helped in so many ways. Obviously, there are so many problems with the system, but so many people are being helped. Do you guys, and anybody can take this one if you want to. I mean, the mayor said inside of our chat this afternoon, tolls were already a go before, but they got to get through council. Do you think that it'll be a yes next time around?
They got to get through the province this time around, right?
Do you think we can get through the province this time? Do you think this is going to be a go? Do you think we will have tolls in Toronto?
I mean, if Doug Ford's still mayor, I'd hedge my, or premier, I'd hedge my bets my Freudian slip, but I'd hedge my bets against it happening. I just don't, you know, Doug Ford cares so much about the city of Toronto and saving Toronto taxpayers' money. I'd be surprised if it gets the green light. But I mean, in the same breath, the premier also said about a week ago that, you know, all things and all options were on the table in terms of revenue generation moving forward.
I just feel like this is not a priority for the province right now, especially something that would fall on the quote unquote little guy of having people, as Chris says, just pay more money out of their pockets right now, regardless of whether it's viewed as a smart long-term move. I cannot see this being proposed anytime soon.
All right, let's move on to Doug Ford. Today he said he was quite concerned with the numbers going up again for a third, fourth day in a row. We've got a trend going the wrong direction. He's also said he's been concerned quite a bit about the testing numbers. Now, he's talked a lot about it, but the testing numbers really haven't matched the level of, the level of angst, the level of pressure he seems to be putting verbally on the medical community every single day. Chris, I'll ask you this question. I mean, the premier seems to make it out to be that we've got the testing system in place. People aren't necessarily doing their jobs properly, but we haven't fired anybody yet. And at the same time, okay, well, maybe there aren't enough people coming forward to be tested. The messaging and communication on this seems to be all over the map. And I think a lot of people are starting to say, well, if you're in charge, let's get this done and get on top of people. You're our guy. You're our advocate here.
Yeah, listen, I think there's no question scaling up the size of a testing capacity in the better part of 20, I think it's been, 14 weeks or so. It has been one heck of a difficult challenge for any government to face and to figure out, you know, who takes charge, whether it's private sector, public health labs, community labs. You know, there's a, you know, whole array of difficulties that the situation presents. I think, you know, as they've moved forward, different priority groups and realize different priority groups, I think we all know it. Start of this, none of us saw, you know, the long-term care crisis developing the way it did, and so the government was forced to shift its focus to testing every long-term care worker and every long-term care patient, and you know, they've kind of checked that box. But certainly at the beginning there was, you know, this idea that you'd go to an assessment center and get tested there if you had symptoms, and that seemed like the right thing to do, and they were encouraging, you know, people who had symptoms or thought they might have symptoms to go. But then they, you know, there was this fear that they were running out of swabs and the reagent needed to test. So it's been both a, you know, there's certainly been troubles with the communication side, but I think that's been more caused by the difficulty of scaling up, both in terms of, you know, the needed tools and equipment you need to conduct these tests, and then balancing it on, you know, people's willingness to come forward. And at first, most people were scared and terrified to go anywhere near a hospital. I think that fear is eased. But ultimately, this comes down to, I don't think it's as much of a testing capacity. And that's where you hear, like, we're not using it all. It's now just, you know, I think we all have to shift the focus. And I think that a lot of that falls more on us as citizens than it does just government officials to be willing to come forward and have an understanding of where we can go to get tested and who needs to get tested so that we can help ramp up those numbers. Because I think right now we've seen across the board, people just are slightly confused and don't know where to go to help, you know, play our part in that role.
Laura, you're on the front lines asking the questions every single day of the premier. I mean, you hear how frustrated he sounds. Do you feel like we're any further ahead given that frustration?
I think this has been one of the most baffling elements of the whole pandemic. What is Ontario's testing strategy and the premier's reaction to this? And a lot of the time, reporters will be pressing him on this or asking him questions about why we're not doing more testing, and he'll counter back, I'm asking the same things of my officials, I'm frustrated too. And he seems to not have a grasp or control over what's going on. I do think that is a result of kind of our siloed public health system as well. We have 34 public health units in the province. A lot of it's pretty archaic in terms of reporting, and the province has made a lot of changes on that throughout this pandemic, and this is them trying to adapt to an unprecedented situation. But I think what's troubling about the numbers continuing to rise is the fact that there is still community spread, and we're not hearing from health officials about where that seems to be coming from, what the circumstances of that are. And I don't think that the public has a grasp of why we haven't been able to tackle this thing, even though we've all been staying home. So I do think that we need to get a grasp on Ontario's testing strategy.
Let's end off with Air Canada, and I'll get a quick 30 seconds from each of you. Did they hit the right tone today when it comes to revising their goodwill policy? Any customer who's got a ticket that was, you know, flight canceled due to COVID-19 will either get a choice of a travel voucher with no expiry date, fully transferable, or they'll be able to convert their booking into Aeroplan miles and receive an additional 65% bonus miles. Chris, is that the right call there?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's on brand with what most other, you know, big companies that are in the same predicament are. I know I got a notification from Ticketmaster the other day that was very much in line with that. I could either get a straight, refund credit at the same venue, or if I wanted to kind of translate it into like Ticketmaster bucks or whatever that was, they'd give me, the same value plus a percentage point. So I think it's in line with what the rest of the private sector was doing. And I think for their own brand, they desperately needed to save face.
Laura?
I'm good with it. I think it's smart not to put a time frame on it. I mean, a lot of people, I think if it was a year or 2 year limit on your on a voucher, people might not want to travel at that point. They might not want to take a similar trip to something they had planned for this year. So as long as there's flexibility, and I think a lot of us are expecting, hoping Air Canada is going to be around, but we know they are struggling as well. But, you know, this isn't a company that we expect to go under and for us to lose our money. But, I'm one of those people that had a flight canceled, and I'll be saving that for another time. But I do think it's smart to not limit people too much in when they're allowed to take this trip again.
All right, fair enough, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too.
You too.
Appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, guys.
Laura and Chris, we appreciate that, of course.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.